ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of stuff. Jim Traber on the show, 9:30. We'll pick his brain about anything and everything from around the world of sports. Was it real? Chris Rock, Will Smith, was it real? It was pretty interesting. I know one thing. I had no idea the Oscars was even on until that happened.
Yeah.
Which would walk me down the path of not real because of how brutal the ratings have been. But it sure looked real. The reactions looked real. So we'll talk about that. Do you have any excitement over what happened last night? Did you even know that the United States men's soccer team qualified for the World Cup?
I did see that this morning.
Any excitement?
I saw that this morning.
We'll talk about that. Final Four is set. We'll go through all the things with the NCAA tournament. Final Four coming up Saturday, and then the finals on Monday. And we all need, you know what that means to me, Jared? Not that the finals are on Monday. It's that Masters Week is upon us. That's the first thing I think of when it's time for the NCAA tournament to end on that Monday evening is, yes, it's time for the Masters.
It is here.
That's what we got on our minds. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the Paragon app. Paragon's got all things. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Oak TV and Paragon TV. It is your one-stop shop for all things Paragon Communications. It's got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, and go back and check that out on KADSAM.com or online on iTunes. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I am wonderful. Recovering. It was a long weekend.
Yes, it was. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah, guess what I got to do last night?
What's that?
So for the first time ever, our church had what's called cookies, cakes, pies, oh my.
Oh my.
Bake-off.
That sounds great.
It was a bake-off. And guess what? I was chosen to be a judge.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the thing.
Are you much of a baker? I know you can.
Yeah, I don't mind baking. I don't mind baking.
Okay.
There were so many entries that the ladies, it was the Women's Association, or not Association, the Women's Committee, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
That they were the ones that they put it together, so they chose the judges, and they did a fine job, because here's the thing, there were so many entries, they split it into cookie judges, cake judges, and pie judges. Otherwise, I'd probably still be there waking up from a sugar coma. So I got to try I was the cookie judge.
Cookie, okay.
8 entries in the cookies. There was not one that I thought, boy, I don't like that one. The winner was a homemade oatmeal cream pie.
Homemade oatmeal cream pie?
Yes.
Wow. Was it like, in comparison to Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie, was it like extra big?
It was bigger. It was like one of the big ones in size, like roundness. It was a little bit more circumference than a normal Little Debbie.
Yeah.
The cream was probably, I don't know, 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch thick. And it was more of a firm texture, as opposed to just the soft chewy. I mean, it was chewy inside, but it was kind of a crisp on the outside. Oh, my gosh. It was my winner, it was the winner. That was that. There, man, great job to everybody. Little like, you know, teenage kids or younger helped on some of the entries.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was like between that and on the way back from Tulsa, we stopped by. Have you heard him talk? Have you heard? I think Mark was there. Maybe Jim's been there too. We'll ask him when he's on here. Champion Barbecue Supply. Have you heard them talk about that?
I've heard him talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we stopped there.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, it is awesome.
Is it like a toy store?
It is
a toy store for barbecue.
So they have this giant wall of rubs and injections, yeah, and sauces. It's a huge wall. I mean, I can't. I was trying to explain it. I don't know, 60 feet long, 80 feet long. I mean, it's a whole wall.
Wow.
But before you get to that side wall, there's this other wall. And you know what it's got?
Mm.
It's got all of that, but it's in testers. So you can taste it. You get to taste them all before you purchase.
Well, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
It makes 100%
sense.
You
don't want to gamble on anything like
that.
No.
And so you try it, and you know they had a trash can there, and you could see what it's for. You pour some out, and then you taste it, and you kind of shoot it off your hands.
Wow.
It was an awesome place.
Well,
awesome
it's
place.
Getting to be that time of year, especially with the weather we had this past weekend.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So that was, we had a good one. What about you? I know what you did Friday. What did you do Saturday? By the way, thank you.
Can you tell me what happened Friday?
On the text line. On the text line, thank you. Yeah, we accepted a couple of OABs awards, one for the Big Elk TV, and Jared won his news. That was a fun, yeah,
it
I
was,
can.
It was a fun night.
I can. You went to bed early.
I did. I did. No, that was a fun night. Fun night. Saturday, we came home.
Did you get past, were you past on the turnpike out of Tulsa? Did you get past the wreck before it happened? Man, we were close. I mean, I'm talking, we were so close to that. Like, we got off the turnpike at Bristow, mm-hmm, and went through town and went to Stroud to try to get in front of it. And as we're getting off of the turnpike and going into Bristow, we had to stop because the emergency vehicles had just got called. I mean, that's how close we were to it, as far as the timing of it.
Then you were ahead of us. We were in it, but it was a 35, 40-minute stop until we finally were able to creep up and get by it. So it wasn't bad. We were in an incredible hurry, but what was cool Saturday, we got up, went ate at IHOP, and which is what you do after a night like
we
that.
We had a way better meal than that.
We were like, you just want to go get some pancakes. And I was sitting there at IHOP, and I realized, you know I'm near Southern Hills. I wonder where it's at. And I looked, and it's a mile down the road, mm-hmm, the actual road we were on. So I told Allie, let's drive by, check it out. So we drove by it, and they're getting ready for the big PGA Championship, which was, I thought that was cool. And now we made our way to the city, did some shopping. Allie was doing she went to this consignment sale that she does about once a year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until 3 o'clock, so we had a lot of time to kill. She said, well, you ready for a full day of shopping? I was like, yeah, let's go. So, you know, we're looking for stuff, and I'm looking for it's hard to explain. It's like a seat for softball, but not like a big seat. It's like a small one that's easy to carry around. Can never find it. But out of all the shopping we did, only bought a hat. That's it. A $10 hat. That's it. Of course, Allie, she always finds the cool stuff. We got to the consignment sale, and she goes, you know, this might take a while. I said, I will stay right here in the car. And I went to the back seat, lowered down a seat, and I took a nap.
Yeah.
It was so pretty Saturday. I cracked the windows, you know.
Yeah.
And I just laid back, and I took a nap, a much-needed nap. And we got home and just relaxed the rest of the weekend. So, but it was a, you know, good weekend. Nice weekend. It was fun. Up there in Tulsa, that's fun. I want to go back, just enjoy the Margaritaville the entire weekend, just to sit by the pool. That was really cool. Cool venue to have that at.
No doubt.
It's
awesome. I don't like it as much as the one in the city, just because it's more spread out. The other one's more in the city.
You like the Skirvin and...
More intimate setting to me.
Yeah.
It's not... Kind of have to... You're forced to kind of meet people.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
As opposed to the, you know, there was a lot of different places to be up there. as opposed to just one different spot, right. One spot.
Right.
Anyway, no, it's a blast, though. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's fun talking with others in the business and picking their brain. Our seminars were really cool. John Brooks and helped me with our...
Chris Lincoln.
Chris Lincoln, yes. They were very entertaining, and it was cool to see him get inducted into the hall, and it was a nice night. Nice night.
It definitely was. What do you think about the Final Four?
Cream rose to the top. We said it Thursday that had a feeling that Duke and North Carolina were on a collision course, and we got that. I know going in right now, I think the betting favorite is Duke to win it all. But I had this feeling, I'm sticking with it. I think Kansas is the favorite. And then there's Villanova, which, you know, you're kind of high on them. It's a team that no one's talking about, but here they are in the Final Four. So I like the Final Four is the four best teams that are playing their best basketball right now. And, you know me, I like storylines. I think the Duke-North Carolina thing is awesome. Coach K, I know Jim's going to hate it, but it's storybook, right? I mean, it's his last season, and here he is in the Final Four with a chance to go out on top. And then there's Kansas. I don't want them to win it, but holy moly, everyone just – I mean, they shouldn't be there is what I'm saying, right? Because of what the NCAA should be doing to them.
You know, there
and,
was
– they're, so they're going to go in as the – probably the most despised team right now, and that they're going to use that as motivation.
It's interesting because there was a point once Houston got into the Elite Eight, you know, and there was a lot of Kelvin's a cheater, da da da. And I thought to myself, you know what? How apropos would it be for him to get to beat Kansas in the first round in the semifinals and Duke in the finals? You know, beat real cheaters. Or even North Carolina. I mean, it is so hilarious for people to act like some phone calls equal what's been going on at Kansas and Duke and North Carolina all these years. Give me a break. I mean, I'm serious.
Right.
I mean, Kelvin Sampson has become was some sort of pariah because he called too many, you know, made phone calls, and these people are on tape, wiretaps, paying money. And, you know, Coach K, he is so sanctimonious. You really want us to believe that Zion Williamson came to Duke because he wanted to play at Duke, and it's not because you paid him a bunch of money? Give me
right,
a break.
Right. Exactly.
Give me a break. Exactly. But it didn't happen that way. I mean, in a lot of ways, this is like the one of the most, what would you call it? Just, I mean, hateable Final Fours. Because of some of the team, I mean, anybody that's a Big 12 fan that doesn't root for Kansas probably hates Kansas,
right?
Not even for what's going on now, just because they've been so good. You know, Duke and Carolina are certainly easy to hate. Duke way worse, way easier. But then you got little Villanova. I think a lot of people will gravitate toward Villanova as far as the rooting interest of it. And
yes. Yeah,
you know it's. You don't if you don't pay attention, you don't realize how good they've been. They've been by far the best of these four over the past half decade to decade.
Absolutely.
You know, that stat, whether 21-3 now in the tournament over the last 5 years with two titles. And, you know, Jay Wright just continues to dominate. And is he the most underrated coach in the country? I mean, I think it would take you a while if you said, okay, who's the best coach in college basketball? I think it would take you a little bit to get to him, and it shouldn't.
Totally agree.
It should not take you that long, but
totally
I think
agree.
It would. So for me anyway, it's an easy choice. You know, I've always favored Carolina over Duke in my own mind just because, I don't know, it's because it's not Duke. I think it would be awesome for Coach K's last game to be a loss to North Carolina in the Final Four. How
sure.
about this? How
sure.
about they've never played in the tournament? How shocking is that?
I saw that, and I was like, I had to read that like four times.
That's
did
shocking
I read that
to
right?
me. Yeah. I mean,
they've
just never collided. I mean, they've been really good for a long time. And you would assume that, you know, they would kind of bump into each other, but they never have. It's pretty crazy.
You think the committee over the years have always put them on other sides of the bracket to say, listen, the only way these guys are going to play
in the final. Probably so. Probably.
That's the only way we want this to happen.
And there's been times.
Because North Carolina became an 8 seed, it just, that's just where they fell.
That's right. Yeah, it probably wasn't as obvious to them to do that this time because no one probably thought Carolina would be there. But it's just wild. I mean, you'd think at some point they might even play in the finals.
You'd think.
As good as they've both been. But it hasn't ever happened. So that'll be, I mean, as much fun as it would have been to see him lose to St. Peter's in the Final Four, it'd be way more fun to see him lose to North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about your all-time scoreboard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Coach K beat Carolina 87% of the, who cares, scoreboard. A little bit like Texas and Texas A&M in football. But, I mean, that's clearly going to be the dominant storyline going into this. Man, Kansas, that second half yesterday, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. And they look like their biggest rival in the tournament, you know, the double-digit seed, was going to get them again. But it didn't happen.
No.
And they, boy, howdy, that second half was incredible.
Outside of all the controversy, it's just purely watching them on the court. That's why I got Kansas as my. It's a slight edge, but I mean, I like Kansas.
The best players are on Duke, right? We both agree with that. They have the best players,
most draftable players, sure.
Yeah, I mean, they have the most guys, the most dudes. They have the best players. I mean, they got 4 first round picks on that team. And oh, by the way, the guy that's not being considered that right now is Roach, who has been the closer for a lot of these games. They can get it. If they all play their best, Duke will win. That makes sense?
Absolutely does.
I mean, look what they did to Tech. We all know how good Tech is defensively. They shot 71% in the second half against Tech. They didn't miss a shot the last 7.5 minutes. They missed nothing from the field. And it took every bit of it to be able to get past Tech. And then they just rolled up Arkansas. Arkansas can play defense too. They just rolled them up too on the offensive end. So they have the most pressure on them, I think, because one, they are the favorite in my mind now, and two, of course, there's the K stuff. But those young guys have seemed to kind of be embracing it, and the more you watch them, the more I'm okay with the Thunder getting Jaden Ivey and Mark Williams. Mark Williams is a stud. Defensively. Now, I don't know if he could ever make a shot in the NBA. But defensively, that guy can change games in the paint. So, yeah, I think I'm glad Miami lost. I'm glad St. Peter's lost. Because we saw yesterday those stories fizzle, and they fizzle hard, and it's no fun to watch.
Yes.
I thought it would happen for St. Peter's against Purdue. It didn't. But, I mean, let's be honest. The games would have been better if it was Carolina and Purdue, you know, and Auburn and Kansas. But those teams didn't, you know, they didn't make it. The Cinderellas are fun until they're not. And when they're not, they just crash down, completely melt down. And that's what happened yesterday. So, you know, the Final Four only won 1 seed. But it feels like, because of the names, it feels like there's 4 of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the names that are there, Kansas is the only actual 1 seed, sure. But they all feel like 1 seeds because it's the guys. That's right.
Just throw it out. Throw it out. Now we got your Final Four, and I think it is the best 4. Some people say it's boring because it's these blue bloods that are here. The games will be good, and it's not for me. We had our fun with St. Peter's. We had our fun with Miami, but now we have 4.
Yes.
Albeit Blue Bloods, but 4 of the best teams in the Final 4, I'll watch.
It would make me watch way more than it would if it was St. Peter's against Duke and Miami against Villanova.
And this is why I kind of don't have a problem with the college football playoff. Would you watch if it was Cincinnati in the final?
I think it's a novelty
saying?
Right now for football until they get beat down. Then you're like, never mind, I don't want that.
Exactly.
That's what... But you don't know in football until you actually get to see it.
I know.
We've seen this in the past in the NCAA tournament.
with the George Masons. And
that's right. And it's fun until it's just not. And it
I want
not
the four
fun.
Best teams. That's in any sport. I want the best teams playing for a title. That's what I want. I don't want no novelty. I don't want and then to see that, what you just said. I don't want any chance of that.
Give me a 3 or a 4 seed getting upset in the first round. Teams that really didn't have a chance to win at all.
Yeah.
Give me one of those. Give me a couple of those. But when we get to like the Elite Eight, I would prefer it to be the ones and the twos every time.
Agreed.
Taking a look at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. The dudes are getting beat. The dudes are losing to the women. The top two are females.
What does that tell you?
One of them's a coach's wife, and the other one played basketball, played softball, all-state softball player, I'm pretty sure. Maybe they're able to keep their emotion out of it more and just go with their analytical brains.
My theory went carrying me for a little bit. Just, you know, my quick, you know, just boom, boom, boom. Who do I think? Boom. But I didn't look at the stats over. Just what did I see this year? You know, who passed the eye test? I'll go with them. Go with them. Just shooting from the hip kind of picks. And it kind of carried me a little bit.
It feels like it's going to be hard. Kim's going to – well, if North Carolina, if it's North Carolina Villanova, Kim's going to win. No one will be able to catch her. It won't even matter who wins. If Kansas beats Villanova, then it'll get pretty interesting. There's some Dukes, Port Dakota. He's in fifth. He's got Duke to win it all, but he's toast because he's behind Jordan, who has the exact same final game and the winner. They both have Duke and Kansas, and Jordan's ahead, and she's got Duke to win. So not a lot you can do there, Dakota. Fine run. But, yeah, how about it?
Well, fun stuff. Definitely kept me interested all tournament long.
Uh-oh, here we go.
We got trash talking?
The guy that was leading the whole time is mad about the format. I'm bitter. I can feel his bitterness in his texts.
That's not our fault, is it? It's ESPN's fault.
That's right. Yeah, we're not.
We just utilize their service.
That's correct. We are the messenger.
Right.
Don't blame him. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think by Monday, I think we'll have a pretty good expect. Well, if it's Duke and Villanova in the finals, then whoever wins that game will win it.
Yeah.
Either Kim or Jordan.
Yeah.
If it's not, if Kansas wins, God, if Kansas and Carolina win, then that may be, how much you get? If it goes up, 480? Yeah, I don't know. So, anyway, it's been fun. It has. It's kept everybody.
Yeah, I like it.
Kept everybody engaged. You have any excitement about the U.S. qualifying for the Men's World Cup?
I mean, you'd like to see USA win. I had no idea it was on, probably because of what we just talked about. It's right in the middle of March Madness. But, listen, if USA in the World Cup is a lot better than them not in the World Cup. It'll pique my interest until they're eliminated.
Yeah,
when is that? This summer?
No.
Is it next summer?
No, it's like in the fall.
Because of where it's being played.
Because of where it's played. I think it's in like November. Which that'll be a hard spot for it. Because,
sorry about your luck, World Cup. Yeah, but now you're it's right going to American football, and that's going to be tough to draw a crowd to watch. But again, I'll keep an eye on the score. Maybe set my alerts on my phone to let me know how it goes. But I'm not going to wake up at 2 a.m. to watch the World Cup.
November 21st.
Where at?
Qatar.
Oh, that's where it's over there. I thought they had it stripped from because there's some controversy.
No. Nope.
I can never keep up. It's like FIFA always has controversy. But
the 22nd through the 21st of November through the 18th of December. Qatar. I don't know. How do you say it?
I don't know either. So,
okay.
Hey, USA. USA.
It's always fun for USA. Just
to be in it.
It doesn't mean I have to watch it, though.
Are they going to be favorites? No. If they make a run, they're the Cinderella of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like that for years. But I'm glad they qualified, absolutely.
Was it real?
Was it real?
Will Smith, Chris Rock, was that real?
Yes.
You're going yes.
Absolutely.
Do you know Chris Rock and Kevin Hart are about to embark on a brand new tour?
No, I didn't. Is this
a publicity stunt?
Is Will Smith going to go at everyone and slap them?
Yeah, I'm the same with you, Dakota. I didn't know people watched the Oscars either.
I wasn't watching.
Until that happened. A lot of people thinking it was fake. The Chris Rock, Will Smith on the text line. My phone, too. Like I said, I didn't know the Oscars were on until that happened last night. Joining us now is a man you'll hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. He is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how's it going?
I'm good, fellas. Did you you guys sound like y'all are winning a bunch of awards out there, Aaron. You that impressive? Should I be that impressed to be with you guys?
Maybe not for this, but our coverage of Elk City football on the live stream won the live stream award, the best live stream in the state of Oklahoma for high school sports. So yeah, it was. Listen, I had the easiest job in that whole thing, Jim. I promise you. Candace does a lot of the graphical work that we display on the screen. Jared is the one that produces right there on site, plus does color commentary. All I have to do is sit down and talk. So my job on that was way easier than everybody else's. But it was cool to be honored that way because I know there was a lot of entrants trying to get that award, and they honored us as the winner.
Wow. Congratulations, guys. Very
Thank
impressive.
You. Thank you very
by
much.
By the way, anybody that thinks the Will Smith thing is fake, they're fooling themselves. That was real.
That's Jared thinks it's real as well. I'm kind of on the fence. The one thing, the way Chris Rock reacted tells me it's real because it looked like he was going to come up swinging after he got hit, and then he kind of stopped himself and giggled. So that was,
you could see in Chris Rock's face that he was just, I mean, flabbergasted by it.
Yeah.
So, and Will Smith and his wife have gone off the deep end here lately anyway. So.
Yeah, it's interesting he getting mad about that with regards to his wife and not some other things that they publicly fire out there. What do you think about the tournament so far?
By the way, remember, it's easy to pick on a little guy.
Yeah, that's true. I bet you.
A little tiny guy.
If that was Idris Elba or somebody like that, I don't know if Will Smith would have been up there on the stage quite so fast.
No.
No. I totally agree with you. What do I think about the tournament? I think that, for a while there, I thought for the first time ever I was not going to get one team in the Final Four. I did get Kansas. And, it's not looking that bad, really. I mean, when you look at the four teams and the seeds, because there were just so many upsets. But, golly, man, usually if you have Duke and North Carolina in the Final Four, you think, yeah, okay, But North Carolina, obviously, with a great run. This is going to be – it'll be fun. I mean, Duke and I am cheering so hard for North Carolina. And I also am cheering for Brady Manek because – I wonder if people around here that were ripping him, I wonder if they just feel like total idiots, I mean, there were fans that were just killing him all over the internet. But I mean, look what this guy's doing now. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool for him. And, gosh, I want him to beat Duke desperately.
Yeah, for the record, I was not that guy. I hated, as an OU fan, I hated seeing him go. But I love seeing him doing what he's doing right now. He could be that X factor in that game. And I'm with you on Kansas. I was on Kansas last week before the Final Four was set. I felt like they're the favorites. I know Vegas says Duke right now is the favorite of the Final Four. Am I hearing from you that you think Kansas can win it all?
Definitely they can win it all. They really have come together, with Remy Martin and everything. He was hurt during the year. I heard he was in the doghouse a little bit too. He is – Mark Rogers on the radio the other day said something really, really smart, I thought, and that was Bill Self likes to have his players from the time they get into – from the time they get out of high school until the time it is for them to leave. I think it's kind of harder for his guards to come in, in the middle of their careers than maybe some other places. But they figured it out, man. Kansas is – they're good. I think any one of the four teams, Villanova could win it. I don't think there's any doubt. And I think North Carolina could win it. So it certainly looks like four blue bloods when you look at it, but it was really hard to get to it, get to this four. It was weird.
Is it, to that point, is this Bill Self's best coaching job at Kansas?
Oh, it's so hard to ask that question because, probably. I mean, this team is totally different, than some of the other teams that he's had. But crazy. really crazy how this tournament went. And then we end up getting what two number twos, a number one, and an eight. That's not it looked it was going to be, you know.
No doubt. Both of us were surprised just because of how good they have been for so long. Surprised that Carolina and Duke have never played in the tournament. This is going to be the first time they've ever played in the NCAA tournament. It kind of took me aback. Like, you can't remember them playing, but as good as they've been, just kind of surprising that they never kind of crossed paths at any point, especially with Dean Smith and Coach K and then on to Roy Williams and so forth.
It's really hard to believe. It really is. You know, I mean, look, when you get a bunch of teams into the tournament for a conference, there's going to be some of them that have to meet earlier than maybe in the past. But remember, the ACC didn't get many teams in this year. And heck, we thought the ACC, everybody thought the ACC wasn't good. They almost got three teams into the Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. How many teams did they even get in? Was it five? How many teams got in?
It was like five or six. And
yeah.
Only
so very... Yeah. Very impressive. Very impressive for the ACC to go as far as they did. And it is unbelievably crazy that these two teams have never played each other. As many times as both of them have been in the tournament, it really is crazy that they've never played each other.
What? Who do you give the edge in that game, that semifinal, Duke, North Carolina? I know I'm with you. We can't stand Coach K, but the storyline's just too juicy. I kind of want to see him win now.
Well, I don't want to see him win, but you're right. It does look – it just looks like everything's just kind of laying out for him, really. I mean, they – you know, they're just doing what they got to do. They're playing their best basketball. They're so good inside. Actually, they're good everywhere. Their starting five is incredible, you know, when you got four of them that are probably going to go in the first round. But North Carolina beat them that last game, you know, in Cameron Indoor, so you would think that they would have a chance to beat them, but I don't know. Maybe it's just makes me throw up in my mouth to say this, but maybe it's just fate, you know. Maybe it's fate that he is going to win it in his last year. But I am sick and tired of watching him. I promise you that.
And then we've talked around everybody, and then there's little old Villanova, who's only been, I don't know, probably the best program of the last 5 years with two national titles. Jay Wright, their coach, is as underrated as it gets. It seems like when you start talking about the best coaches in the country, it takes too long to get to him. They're not they're not my favorite team style-wise. Matter of fact, by far the least of these four. But, I mean, you could see Villanova ended up hoisting the trophy on Monday night.
There's no doubt. I mean, they should play in the Big 12, man. They play some ugly basketball. The ugly basketball. Well, you're right, they do. They get it done. He's a great coach. Three of the last six Final Fours they've been in, two of the last five, they've won the whole thing. And think about how hard it is. Think about how hard it is to get to the Final Four. We've seen that here in the state of Oklahoma. I mean, when OU and OSU get to the Final Four, man, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, they're doing it consistently, so he is. I mean, with Krzyzewski retiring, he might be the best coach in the country, guys. Might be.
Yeah, I think there could easily be an argument made for that. Hanging out with Jim Traber here on a Monday. I want to switch to something I saw middle of last week, and it was after Oklahoma went to Kentucky and won that softball game. And Dean Blevins, who you know, he's been around forever in this state, especially watching OU stuff, he put out a tweet that basically said, this OU softball team has a chance to be the best team ever any sport at OU. How do you react to that?
Well, I've already said that I think Patty Gasso is the best coach in the history of the school. People look at me like, what are you talking about? Well, if you don't go by importance of the sport, I mean, obviously football is by far the most important sport for many different reasons. So, yeah, to compare her straight up to Switzer or Wilkinson or even Bob Stoops, you know, you think, wow, but what she's doing right now, fellas, is unbelievable. I don't know about the greatest of all time of any sport anywhere. Because, you know, you got some, I mean, if you want to go to any sport, you got like some wrestling teams and things. I mean, remember what Iowa was doing there for a while?
No, he just been at OU. He just been at OU only.
Oh, at OU?
Yeah.
At OU.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well, there would be a bunch of football fans that go crazy and argue that.
But it definitely could be. I mean, with not only what they're doing, but the way they're doing it. It's just ridiculous how they're just beating up on everybody. Some guy messaged me on Instagram this week and said, Baylor is coming to, you know, they're coming to Norman for baseball and softball. He goes, if I gave you the over-under at 3 wins, what would you give? I said, are you kidding me? I said, it's guaranteed over. And I'm close. Because you know that OU's going to win 3 right there. And then, you know, in softball. And then, Bay, what did OU do in baseball yesterday? They won their first 2
they
games.
They lost yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So they won 2 out of 3. So there you go. It's 5 out of 6 between the two programs. Yeah. Oh, their softball team is just amazing. I don't know how anybody's going to beat them. Because they got this pitching now, too, especially from that freshman girl. So it's crazy.
It was nice to see how they won yesterday down, what was it, 1-0, bottom of the 7th, and they hit a 3-1 walk-off to win it. So I like to see them when they win close games, too, personally, because it shows me the moxie that they can do. They can either blow you out or they can hang in there and win. You brought up baseball. I got to get your reaction from that Texas Tech-Texas series. First, the walk-off stolen home plate. Or stolen home. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I've heard of it before. I mean, I've never actually seen it happen. I heard of it in the minor leagues a couple times. It is crazy. What makes it even more crazy is that the dude was a right-handed pitcher.
You're right.
And he's just standing there. And he's not even looking at the guy. I mean, what in the world? It's like he had his own little, like, you know, thing that he does, routine that he does, and he was, like, pretending like there wasn't anybody on third base. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And it might have been the easiest steal I've ever seen. I mean, there wasn't even a play.
Yeah.
What did the pitcher do? He was literally 15 feet from home plate before the guy even knew he was running. I mean, oh, my gosh. If I was a pitching coach at Texas, I would be going, I'd get that guy out in the field and say, listen, dude, you're going to change what you do on the mound. But you've got to look at that. I can understand it with a left-handed pitcher a little bit, but the right-hander not even look at him. And obviously Texas Tech knew it. That was amazing. And then to come back one on Saturday and hit, what, a walk-off grand slam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was – and Texas is supposed to be the best team in the league. So, yeah, that was that must have been an amazing series. Again, I didn't see what happened yesterday in that series. Who won yesterday?
Texas blew them out 12-1.
Okay, so Tech won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So it looks like those OSU Cowboys are at the top starting off with that 3-game. Of course, Kansas stinks. But that's what you got to do, fellas. I think I told you that. I said it on the radio. You got to take care of the teams that aren't any good. If you want to be a home seed, you got to beat the people that aren't as good as you. And that's what they did. In the past, they'd have won 2 out of 3 in that. Seriously. Last year, they'd have won 2 out of 3 in that series. This year, they won 3 out of 3. That's the way you become a team that can go back to Omaha.
And they've been rolling. What is that, 11 or 12 in a row?
Something like that. 11 or 12, yeah. They have been rolling. Ever since I've done Gonzaga's sweep, I think Josh and people have to him and said, fellas, that's embarrassing. I mean, you can't get swept at home by anybody. And so, they've been cranking back up. It's impressive. Their pitching staff, they're hitting. They're really playing good baseball.
Stay in Stillwater. Mike Gundy, a new contract. It seems like to me, I think it's obvious, that the leadership up there, with Gundy included, is so much more together or unified on the same page than they were at the end of the previous president, athletic director, coach, you know, at the end of that time. Why do you think that is?
Oh, because I think Mike Gundy has more power. I think Mike Gundy kind of does what he wants to do. I think back then, I don't think Mike Holder would let it happen. And, you know, they got into some different things, Boone Pickens and Mike Gundy and Mike Holder all kind of had some brawls, if you might say. So now I think with Weiberg up there, who's just a great dude, knows what he's doing, but a great dude, but he's a guy that I think shows a lot more respect and listens to Mike Gundy a lot more, and Mike likes that. So I think that's probably what's going on. But as far as his contract's concerned, I don't think there's any doubt he deserves it. I think that if you'd have told me 10 years ago that a football coach at OSU was going to make $7.5 million a year, I thought you were crazy. But he deserves it. I thought the interesting part for me about it was is that they just put out a report about a month ago how much money they lost last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're willing to pay their coach even more. And the interesting, I mean, on Friday, it's not like they have to try to keep him. You know, it's all well and good that he got a raise and everything, but do they really need to give him a raise? You know, so that was kind of a weird deal. But you know, congratulations! If you can get the money, go for it.
Do you have any excitement for the U.S. making the World Cup?
Seriously?
Why'd you ask that question? Come on.
Now listen. Now listen. I know you're a USA, USA, USA type guy.
Well, I'll cheer for USA.
I just needed to find exactly where the line extended to, and I was afraid soccer was probably it.
The only way I know that they're even there is that it went across the crawl, and I saw that somebody has to score 6 goals against them. So I don't know. There's no excitement. You know why? Because they're going to go over there and get beat. But I will say this. It's better that we go than be embarrassed like it was last time when you didn't go.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you want me to get all fired up about it, I guess I could say that. Aren't you guys like girls soccer? You got all that stuff, right?
No, not me.
My girls only play basketball and softball. That's it.
All right, serious. Okay. Are you surprised how this Baker Mayfield thing has turned out this offseason to where it looks like he's going to be the one standing up when all the musical chairs stop?
Well, I'm not surprised at anything that happens with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're a total embarrassment. They have been for years and years. They've handled this so poorly. And, of course, figure out that they're the one that goes and gets this sexual predator to bring in. I guess, I mean, there's some people out there, Jim, how's there been proven of it? Okay. As I said the other day, let's say half of them are lying. There's still 11 of them. As far as Baker Mayfield's concerned, I think it's kind of humorous. I really do. And the only reason why is because the guy's, got more than enough money. He's going to get $18 million for this year coming up, too. But I think it's kind of humorous because he's sitting in his house right now in Austin, Texas, basically saying, I can't believe this. I'm better than a lot of these quarterbacks. You know he is. Will his ego let him go somewhere to be a backup? I don't know. But I still think there's a chance he could be a starter. I still think he's a good football player. I just don't think he's near as good as everybody kind of around here thought he was. And what a horrible number one pick. I'm sorry. I mean, the best number one pick in the draft, and you pass on a bunch of dudes. Go back and look at that draft and look at some of the players, including quarterbacks. Josh Allen. You think you'd like rather have Josh Allen? So anyway, I am surprised, though, Skinny. I am. I didn't think that it was going to come down to this. I didn't think that we were going to be sitting here waiting to see if he can even get a job somewhere. But this way, you know, the league is. You better perform. And he just made a massive mistake. You know, he got a little bit too cocky here. Got a little bit too cocky thinking, I can play with this injury. I'm good enough to play with this injury. Well, you're not. You're not good enough to play with that injury in this league. This isn't the Big 12 defenses anymore. And now he's sitting here trying to figure out where he's going to go. I'm sure someone will pick him up. I just don't know if he's going to be a starter.
Where do you think's the best spot for him? We were talking about Tampa, to be able to go down and learn from the best ever and see how he does things. And, you know, you talked about Mark earlier. I think he brought up a great point about it's time for Baker Mayfield to act like the number one pick instead of the cool little walk-on story from Tech that went to OU.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that'll ever happen. But, I mean, look, the best place for him would be Seattle. The
right.
best place for him long-term would be in Tampa. I mean, it's that true. Hey, guys, you know how many times in Seattle Russell Wilson would have to run for his life? I mean, it was crazy.
Uh-huh.
You think Baker Mayfield's going to be able to do that? As little as he is, I mean, he'll get killed in Seattle. You guarantee it. He'll get hurt again. But if he does go to Tampa, this is where his ego comes in, fellas. You know, with his ego, will he let it happen? You know, will he be okay with that? But, yeah, I think Tampa would be a really good spot for him. I think it's hilarious how – what I think is funny is how teams came out after they made moves and said, no, we really don't want him. Even teams that don't have a quarterback, you know. So he is obviously – he's made the people mad in Cleveland, which, by the way, doesn't – I mean, that's not that hard because they're clueless. But he's made them mad, and that's obviously gotten around the league. And the people around the league know he's not as good as he thinks he is. So he's a little bit of a, I mean, he's a little bit of a troublemaker, guys, if you bring him in. Because it's not – I would hope that this whole situation would humble him. That's a question for you two guys, because you guys are like – you got Baker Mayfield boxers right now, both of you. Tell me, I mean, do you think that this whole thing humbled him, do you think?
I think the remains to be seen.
Yeah.
If he will accept a backup role and do what some of those guys that just got signed will do, then I think the answer to that is yes. If he continues to tell he doesn't want to go there and he doesn't want to go there and he doesn't have that choice right now. He has to go wherever they'll take him. What it seems now, how much of that is smoke screens of trying to give up a worse pick to Cleveland to get him and all that kind of stuff? Who knows? But right now, it sure seems like Seattle is the only place he would be a starter, and they don't want him either. So,
well, he's such a child sometimes, though. I mean, Carolina comes out and says, we didn't want Baker Mayfield, and his people have to come out and have a statement and go, well, we didn't want to go there.
Right.
I mean, that is so stupid. I mean, you have to get the upper hand on an NFL football team. That just makes him look worse. Even if Seattle does bring him in, this has got to be a punch in the face for him, I would think. I mean, if he has any brain in his head, he has to look and go, no, wait a minute now. All these quarterbacks are flying around. There are all these jobs open, and I'm just sitting here because nobody wants it. Now, you can blame the Browns if it makes you feel better, but some of it's his fault too. So I would hope that wherever he goes, one of the first things that comes out of his mouth, if I'm him or if I'm somebody around him, would be, yeah, this whole situation humbled me. I'm sitting there thinking, if I'm healthy, I'm really good at this game. And other teams were like, yeah, no, we don't think so. That's humbling. Now more than likely he'll do something like, I'll remember. No, I'll remember what people said, what they did. And I don't know what that'll mean if he says that. But, I think that this is a turn. This is a crossroads in his career. It really is. He can do what some of these other guys have done. Or he could just fade into oblivion. So,
I mean, don't you think he's – I can almost hear it saying, well, I got to Cleveland, and in my 4 years we won a playoff game for the first time in 26 years, and I took a team that was 1-31 the 2 years before and won a bunch of games and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's what it seems like to me he's going to say, which does not show any sort of contrition or even acknowledgement that last year was your fault and you're in this situation because – you thought you were something that you weren't, and it's due to injury. I'll agree with that. But you got to be smarter than that, especially with the situation his contract was.
Yeah. He's definitely going to blame Cleveland. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, what he can say? Because he said, I did some really good things at Cleveland, and I did some things that weren't so good. That's all you got to say. It's okay to say that, and I've learned. And this has been a hard off season. That's what he should say. It's been a hard off season. Not only was I rehabbing from a big injury, but I also had to sit there and see how teams didn't really want me. So I'm out to prove that that I can play this game and I'm a starting quarterback in the league. If he says that, great. I don't know if he will, but that's what he should say. I don't know. I think he gets bad advice, too. I don't think it's just him.
Yeah, his dad doesn't seem like his
father's giving him bad advice, so yep. Whatever.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I'd switch to the Thunder right quick. Golly, they're right there where you hope they would be going into the season. They can't really afford to win another game, and if they don't, feels like the rest of the teams in there, one of them at least, will pass them, and you'll look up, and the Thunder will have one of the best three odds in the lottery. If things, let's say things worked perfectly, and they had, a top three, that middle pick, and then the one at the end, is it okay just to take all the Duke guys?
Oh, man. Well, I definitely want Benchero. Benchero, I really want him if I get up there at the top. And then you're talking about Williams, obviously.
Yeah, Williams and maybe more.
I mean, if you got all three of them, okay. I mean, I wouldn't be disgusted by that. I think that'd be a pretty good draft. I still like the Colico kid in Arizona, and mm-hmm. I think you might be able to get him at the end of the first round. But, yeah, no, listen, it just seems like there's a bunch of good players in this draft. So if they do a good job, this should really help them on their way. But, gosh, losing Orlando beating Orlando last week was a shame. I mean, there's really nothing they could have done about it. They tried. Yeah, they just got out-tanked. But, yeah, you got to lose the rest of your games. Yeah, Detroit almost won last night. That would have been so good if Detroit could hold and held on. Because Portland stinks. That's the thing with the Thunder. They play Portland twice the rest of the year. And Portland, I think, is the worst team in the entire league right now. So, yeah, you got to figure out ways to lose, man. Got to figure it out.
And then last question about that. I know you like Smith first.
I think he's the best player.
Who do you take with the number two? Is it now? I mean, going in, I thought, to me, Smith had the highest upside. Holmgren was the biggest risk. Benchero was the guy that's ready the most. He's actually impressed me more just in this tournament run than I thought he would. But what if it's Ivy? Would you be okay with, say, Ivy and Williams or Coloco, that kind of duo?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, if I can get Benchero, I'm taking Benchero. I mean, Ivy is a great player. I mean, I love the kid. But what are they going to do, man? They got 500 guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, if he's just so much better than everything you have, then I guess you have to take him. But, I would pick Benchero second. I would probably take Holmgren third. Although if Holmgren and the Serber run up and down the floor, look like twins run up and down the floor.
Yeah, and it's, you know, he was such a non-factor in that game against Arkansas because he was setting the whole time, so it was really kind of hard
to judge
him.
But you know what, though? He had 14 rebounds.
Yeah, yeah.
He played pretty well for when he was in there. He just got such trouble with fouls. But, look, I don't know how good he's going to end up being, but there's no doubt that he is the one of the bunch that could be a bust. But, man, he's got some upside. He can do a lot of things. He can run. He can shoot. Block shots, but I'd rather get Benchero if I could.
What's on the podcast this week?
It is the governor and his wife.
That's right.
Julian went over to to the governor's mansion on Friday, and we had a two-part podcast, and it is good, man. Really, really good. I want to let people know it's not a love festival of politics. It really isn't. We talk a little bit about the COVID, but it's mostly just about. They got six kids, man, six children, and they, you know, had to move out of their house up in Tulsa. And it's some really good stuff. So join, get in the Julian Jim Traver podcast. It'll be about the governor and his wife this week and next week.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be listening at 2:00.
All right, fellas. Thanks. See ya.
See you later. That is the ultimate Jim Traver joining us on a Monday, as he does basically every single week. To Jim's point, yeah. I mean. Holmgren had 11 points and 14 rebounds. Only played 23 minutes.
He's productive.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, it.
There stands was a, out to me. He's really productive.
If you look back at that game, Gonzaga's up 8 with 8 minutes to play in the first half when he got his second foul, and then Arkansas turns it around to lead by 3 on a 13-2 run with him sitting on the bench.
Right.
You know, and they never necessarily got traction there in the second half with him, but you knew they were done without him.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
at the same time.
Oh, when the fifth foul came, you knew. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
You lose a lot of production with him on the sidelines.
Who would you take number two?
Him.
Who would you take number one?
That's the question of the day. I don't know. Because you've sold me on the Purdue guy. And I've always kind of leaned the Auburn guy.
Yeah.
So, but I want size too.
I haven't liked Banchero until now.
See, I was on that.
That dude made it seems like what was the game? Tech. Against Tech on Thursday night. He was the catalyst down the stretch, knocking down threes. That's the one thing, you know, you always hear, yeah, he can shoot threes, and the games I'd watched really could it really wasn't. But man, and then the other day the same thing in the win against Arkansas. Like, he, that dude, if you're wanting the most NBA-ready guy, I think it's him.
Yeah.
I think it's him. And he's probably the furthest along now. And here's the question. Is he the bird in the hand?
Yeah.
Or are you going to gamble on some of the potential of those other two guys?
Right.
The big guys anyway. And then there's always Ivy.
It's going to be really interesting when that time comes.
It is going to be.
You know what's interesting for me?
What's that?
And I just, during the show, looked it up because I was curious after how he's played in this tournament, where is he playing himself up into draft positioning, and that's Brady Manek. They got him right now in the second round.
Yeah.
It's amazing how your opinion of somebody in this tournament alone can go up.
And a lot of times...
With him in the national spotlight, it's helping his stock.
It does, and a lot of times, though, it's fool's gold.
Sure.
Like this Bankero. I don't want to get too... Which, if the Thunder should take him number one if they have it, just because there's a lot more sample size than just a couple of games.
Right.
Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.